Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in, watching the show today on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates from coast to coast. Let's head out to the Progressive Guest Line. More bets this weekend. Wild card games going on in the NFL. Mike Somich joins the program. Co-host of one of the podcasts here at VSiN called Sharp Money. Comes out twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. Hey, Mike, good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. I love this weekend of football. I'm a huge Miami Hurricanes fan. Very much enjoyed last night. Looking forward to find out who we play tonight. Then got three excellent days of NFL playoffs as well. Great football weekend we got, boys.
No doubt. One of the best weekends of the entire year, football or non-football. Let's begin with this. We just talked at the end of the first hour a lot about the Jacksonville-Buffalo game. I think we might be on the same page with this one. How have you attacked it so far?
I'm scared. Because I like the Jags, and I'm not a big Trevor Lawrence guy. I actually was probably one of the lowest people on this network talking about Trevor Lawrence during the first half of the season, but you add Jacoby Myers to this lineup. You add Parker Washington back to the lineup. You add Brenton Strange back to the lineup, and all of a sudden we're not seeing those mistakes that we saw earlier in the season from Trevor Lawrence. The defense, which was reliant on turnovers early in the season, has just been flat out good the second half of the season as well. You flip it over, you look at the Buffalo side, it's Josh Allen, James Cook, and that's about it. It might be enough. I don't think it's going to be. I like the Jags in this spot. I played them on the money line. I also played them in a teaser with the Bears, took them both up to 7.5 here because you have both of them as a plus 1.5 dogs, played in a 6-point teaser, get over a touchdown. This just sets up for Jacksonville's offense to be able to have a heyday. I mean, the Buffalo defense is going to struggle to stop them. I wanted to knock the Jacksonville offense for who they've played, but right smack in the middle of lower-level opponents is the Denver Broncos, and they hung a 34 spot on them. It just feels like Jacksonville going to be able to move the football through the air, on the ground, consistently up and down the field. And on the other side, I do believe Buffalo will have some success. I'm just not sure how much success they're going to be able to consistently have, especially since this Jacksonville run defense has been very good. It's going to be tough for James Cook. And if James Cook doesn't get going, Josh Allen has to throw on the cape to beat me. He is 100% capable of doing that. But the team advantage here for Jacksonville, I think, is just a little bit too big. So I'll take the Jaguars on the money line in this spot. And like I said, I'll tease them up with the Bears.
I did Parker Washington 23-1, most receiving yards this weekend. What did you do?
I like Parker Washington this weekend. I took him over the 51.5 number. I also played him most receiving yards in the playoffs at 40-1. I love these most receiving yards, passing yards, rushing yards, whatever it is in the playoffs. When you're looking through the teams that can make the Super Bowl out of the wild card round, that's where I generally going to focus on because you get one extra game versus the teams that have the bye. And to me, this Jacksonville team has a legitimate shot of coming out of the AFC here. I like the matchup for them from an offensive perspective. If they get through this game, they have to go up to New England if the seeds play out. If that's the case, I'm totally fine with that and taking on that New England defense, which I do think is gettable through the air with this Jacksonville offense. You then would have to take on Denver. Guess what? Been there, done that, had a big day already. I think Parker Washington has an opportunity to really prove himself out as the top receiver for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. And if you watch the last few weeks, he is getting these routes that are 7-yard outs, 10-yard outs, 12-yard outs, and he's able to take them upfield because of the way that Liam Cohen is scheming up the game. So you're getting high percentage passes with high percentage yards after completion as well. And when you combine those two, that's what allows consistency inside the receiving yard game. Lined at 51.5 this weekend, I'll take the over. And like I said, I think the Jags have a legitimate shot of coming out of the AFC, so I'll take 40-1 to get to the most receiving yards in the playoffs as well.
Good angle. Love that. You're spot on. You want to have players like that playing an additional game this weekend. How about the one on Monday night that we have? Jacksonville, the team they had to hold off in their division, Houston. And there's been, look, I mean, money coming in on Pittsburgh, and I've heard basically nobody make the case for the Texans, but you're going to tell me that you're going to fade Tomlin Voodoo here? And you want to shovel dirt on?
I don't understand what is the case for the Steelers outside of Tomlin Voodoo? Like, it's Tomlin Voodoo, and I'm hearing people tell me, well, Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl, so he shouldn't be a home dog. Did we watch this Pittsburgh team? Like, they are not good at football on either side of the ball. Like, they were getting roasted by the Ravens through the air, getting run on all day, yet we're going to get them as a team that's taking money in the market. It's wild to me. On the other side, look, this is a Houston Texan team that has a elite defense, and people are still sleeping on how good this defense is because of two of the last 3 weeks you saw in, yeah, like, sleepy spots. The defense wasn't incredible. Guess what? Hard to be incredible for 17 games. When you look at who's going to line up on the other side of Pittsburgh here, you have two elite edge rushers. You have one elite interior rusher, one very good interior run stopper, facing an offensive line and a statue for a quarterback. An offensive line doesn't block very well, and a statue for a quarterback. Your biggest threat on the outside is DK Metcalf. Guess what? You've got the best or second best cornerback in the league that is going to shadow him. After that, it's guys like Adam Thielen. But don't worry, you also have very good safeties. You've got an excellent CB2 here. I think Houston's defense rules the day. I realize we're a little concerned about Houston's offensive line. You don't want to take a bad offensive line on the road. I get it. I think they need 17 points to win this football game and cover.
Wow.
I think Pittsburgh's top tier performance here is around 13 points. So I'm going to take Houston. Oh. I'm going to lay the three. I'm going to trust the defense, and I'm going to take the team total under 18.5 for Pittsburgh as well. I think they have a brutal day offensively.
All right. That's what should happen. The Tomlin voodoo, satanic black magic.
I know. All right. It's the defensive toudown that's going to get me. Don't say that.
Okay. So if I'm Ben Johnson, I watch what Derrick Henry did to the Packers defense, and I also know what I did against Philly's defense. How about a big game from Swift Saturday night?
I think this is just run, and run some more. The weather kind of supports it up there as well. We're seeing 15 to 20 mile per hour sustained winds, gusts up to 30, 35 miles per hour for this Chicago and Green Bay game. We're seeing the possibility of snow as well. To me, this is Ben Johnson just leaning into his run game against a Packers team that, since Micah Parsons came out, has struggled to be able to stop the run. I think Swift is the main beneficiary of that. I think Benungai gets his share as well of carries, but I think Swift has the opportunity to make bigger plays, longer runs. That makes me want to take his over more than the Benungai over here. We've seen him get, I'll say, 65%, 70% of the carries versus Menungai's 30. That's the split I expect in this game because of Swift's explosiveness. They're going to be looking for big plays here. I think Chicago keeps the ball on the ground. I think they run effectively here. Give me the Swift over 60.5 rushing yards. I also lean the Bears in this game. It's hard for me to get there, though, because I do think that this is one of the more even games in the first round. I think this spread is correct here. I think it's a slight advantage for the Packers. I just can't get all the way to the 1.5. So if I get involved on the side here, it would be over. Or I'm sorry, it'd be Bears money line. But I have not gotten to the window on it yet. I do like that Swift over 60.5 rushing yards, though.
I know that Justin Herbert's offensive line has turned into, because of injuries, maybe the worst in the entire league based on all the metrics, right? But do you think that maybe the New England defense is the perfect team for him to play?
I was shocked at the passing yard prop here. We're sitting at 229.5 for Herbert. In a game where they are likely going to have to throw the football to move the football, not a great offensive line. You've got Hampton, who's banged up coming into this game. Mm-hmm. You have three weapons on the outside that can legitimately make plays for you. You've got a tight end that is pretty good. This is a New England defense that you can throw the football on and doesn't have the highest pressure rate either, 18th in the NFL. So you'd assume that Herbert will have at least a little bit of time to be able to get the ball out. Also in a game state that may force Herbert to throw the football consistently because they are trailing on the road. This is a playoff game. You're going to play to the final whistle. You're going to keep throwing the football. And somehow he is lined at 229.5. Give me the over here. I think Herbert ends up throwing the football 40 times in this football game. I think we fly over the 229.5. I don't mind taking him up to 275. You can take a shot at 300 a little bit here if you want. But it is going to be the Chargers trying to move the football through the air, and Herbert's line way too low if that's the case at 229.5.
Very good. All right, let's close with a Super Bowl exacta and the team to win the whole thing. In terms of, like, numbers right now that stick out that you think are good enough to bet.
Yeah, this is not Mike saying this is who I think will win the Super Bowl. This is Mike saying this number is wrong, and that's Eagles plus 950. The Eagles sitting at plus 950 are currently my second highest power-rated team heading into the playoff behind only the Rams. This defense, I think, is going to be absolutely legit. I like the path for them as well. If they're able to get the win this weekend, they head to Chicago. I think that is a very good matchup for Philadelphia, and then we'll see what the NFC title game brings. But I'll take a shot here, 9 to 9.5 to 1 on the Eagles, and what I think is a relatively wide open NFC. I think the AFC is absolutely wide open. So I'll take a little bit of a shot on the Super Bowl exacta. I will go Eagles over Jaguars. You can get 65-1 Eagles over Jaguars as an exact Super Bowl result. You can get 35-1 if you want to see the two face each other. So just name the finalists. I don't hate Eagles over Texans as well. I think that the Texans and the Jags are both live to come out of the AFC here. But I ended up going Eagles over Jags, 65-1 there. And a little bit of the name the finalists, Eagles and Jags at 35-1
That's what Sal Pal gave out Wednesday.
Oh, no.
How about that? What?
Boo. I am worried about all of the Jags love. I am legitimately concerned that they're just – I don't hear anyone just being like, nope, don't trust them at all, talking bad about the defense, this offense isn't good. Like, I am concerned that there's not enough negativity around this Jags team.
I don't disagree. By the way, you're the third person this week, consecutive days, to say the Eagles are winning it and worth a bet. You did it just now. Adam Chernoff.
Yeah. It's the price.
I know. Adam Chernoff yesterday. It's the price. And also Sal Pal on Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, were they higher than 950 throughout the entire year?
It fluctuated in and out. But when you now get to this and you see the path that they're going
to
have.
The path is nice.
It's you just look at it and you're like, okay, the Eagles get the Niners. That is a great first game for them. The Bears is a great second game for them. Bring on the Seahawks or the Rams. I'll take my chances there. And if you make it, I think you're going to be favored in the Super Bowl.
Awesome stuff, Mike. Thank you. Love talking to you. Good luck this weekend.
Have a good one, guys. Enjoy Wild Card Weekend.
Back at you.
Good job,
Mike. His podcast is called Sharp Money, twice a week here on VSiN. Get it wherever you listen to your podcast. Derek Stevens next. We'll ask him where they're seeing Sharp Money for Wild Card games coming up next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Look at this. Derek Stevens joining the show now. Owner, CEO of this great property, Circa Resort and Casino. Thanks for carving out a couple of minutes during your very busy schedule. We'll get into wildcard games. I wanted to ask you this. Mike Palm told us that you guys took a huge bet on Ole Miss many months ago to win the national title. Was it a good thing that they got beat last night? What was the result of that game for you?
The result of the game for us on the futures was good. The result of the game yesterday was a disaster for us.
Disaster.
We needed Ole Miss. When they converted that two point conversion to go up by three, I knew at that moment we were doomed. I really wanted them to not make that so that they were up one. We were in good shape with Ole Miss outright. We were in good shape with Ole Miss losing by up to two. And when they converted that, I knew it was over. It was a massive – it was one of the biggest – it's definitely the biggest decision of the year, but it was one of the biggest decisions of the entire football season for us.
Is that right?
All this money came in so late. I mean, five-figure bets, multiple six-figure bets – $500,000 bet was the biggest one. All just came in on Miami. So we were in a position that we were of the thought process of let's try to win one today, and we're going to worry about this future liability down the road in a national championship game. But it was a big one.
Did they lay the three or did they go money line?
Well, it was some on the money line, but a lot of it was laying three. A lot of it was laying three.
A live betting as well, or no?
No. This is all pre-flop.
Do you guys get killed under any scenario tonight with Indiana and Oregon?
Yes, but it's still a little early. So, I'll get you an update here. I should have pulled it up while I was coming down the elevator, but I'll get you a number here in about a minute or so.
Okay. What is your what game as of right now interests you the most in terms of how it's shaping up for you here at Circa with Wild Card Weekend?
I think that it's just going to cascade. I think Sunday, could be an all-time record handle day. I mean, it should be for us. I mean, we're in Missouri now and whatnot, a little more developed in Kentucky. But this weekend very well could be bigger than March Madness is how big it is. I mean, this is a massive football weekend. The handle yesterday through the roof. I know today already, I mean, we've just been seeing bets coming in like crazy. The wires are coming in. It's amazing. And, you know, and then also, you know, we're giving away a lot of dough to some of these guys. We're giving away $30 million tonight.
That's
so
right.
Some of these guys know a little something about football. They may have an opinion.
Yeah. You're packed right now. I was busy coming in. So every year you buy people dinner, the winners, and you go to Barry's. Now, what is that like to have dinner with these people who just won and some are now millionaires? Can you take us through what that's like?
Yeah, this kind of happened one year. I think it started 4 or 5 years ago. We were hanging out over here, and you know, somebody won the millions, and you know, we thought, what a great night! Let's go out to dinner, and it turned into a debacle. It was beautiful. It was just beautiful.
Debacle. Okay.
We ended up Italian American Club.
All right.
There's video of that, and which proved we were there, and we had a hell of a good time. And what we come to find out is when you hang around, you know, 4, 5, 8 different groups, people that win $1 million, they want to go out that night. That's a fun time to go out with people. They're a little loose and it's a lot of fun. And that's kind of what happened. We just went to dinner here. We kept it on property because it was about 52 people that went to dinner on Sunday night. No one really needed the night game. So it's the first time we've ever done this dinner at 5 o'clock. Usually we're doing it around 8:30.
Okay.
But 5 o'clock. So, you know, it wasn't too out of hand.
Did you feel bad for the person who had the Bengals?
Oh, my
goodness. Two defensive touchdowns? The Browns can't get a first down? They win the game?
Oh, and then the field goal. Yep. It was crazy. Now, interestingly, there were only two of the 6 circuit survivors that weren't here on Sunday, and that was one of them. So I still don't know who it is. Oh. Now, when I'm over here with 4 of them that are already, you know, in the locker room, you can imagine how excited everyone was when they made the field goal. It was like a $700,000 field goal for everybody who was there.
Yeah,
it was euphoria for everybody that was there.
Sure.
Is tonight another fun night for you, dishing out all the money? Do you go out again tonight with all the winners or no?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. I'll tell you something. We'll do it here online. Unless any of these guys are watching right now from their hotel rooms, we got a lot up our sleeve tonight. So, yeah, this is a great night. And by the way, we're going to put links out. You know, we're live streaming this on VSiN.
Yeah.
On VSiN's on the YouTube channel. I'm sure you guys said that. But we're going to live stream it. We've got a total of 25 different big checks we're giving out tonight that are staying here. Mike Palm's going to be the master of ceremony, so he's up studying states and capitals and walk-up songs and all the stuff that Mike does. And anywhere from the Circa Millions winners, I think we got 5 of the top 10. I believe we've got the guys that GC Syndicate, the unbelievable record to win the booby prize outright. And then we've got, I think, 4 Grandissimo winners here. And we've got, I think every single Circus Survivor's here. And when I say every single Circus Survivor, there's some crews here. Like, okay, do you and your partner want to come in? Yeah, okay, we'll come. Put us down plus 16, you know, stuff like that. Because we invite everybody, like bring your mom, bring your dad, bring your husband, bring sure. your wife, you know, whatever you want to do, and bring your family. I mean, these people that went through this, it's not just them. You know, their family had to live through it. The stress, you guys know what the stress is like. So we really try to celebrate the families. And for a lot of the people, they're like, I can't believe this is kind of how it's coming to an end here and how great it is. And we really try to celebrate everybody. And we're bringing all these past Blue Jacket winners out. So I think we got about 15 former champions coming to the event tonight. So it should be fun.
How about Money Moose did? 3-22 with the quarterly?
Yeah.
How about that
pretty
move?
Good. Yeah, amazing.
I felt bad for Kimmy. Said this earlier this week.
1-19
1-19 going in, and then the wrong time to have a good week.
Yeah. Amazing.
Circa Millions came down to the tiebreaker then?
It was down to the tiebreaker.
With Coin Hop?
Yeah. Coin Hop won the tiebreaker. Yeah. I think, you know, that the tiebreaker was most winning weeks. And I believe Coin Hop had one more winning week than the second place, than Bison did. I think Coin Hop had a winning week every week of the year except for three.
Oh man, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That is quite the run.
Mm. Yeah, I mean just 3-2, 3-2, 3-2, 4-1, 3-2. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Syndicate was on the show earlier in the week. How about they got in early, like you talked about with something that happened earlier, but they started 0-2, and then that was it. Because they were on common plays with everyone else and had the lead, and that was it. The late games didn't even matter for Syndicate for the booby.
Yeah, those that crew was something. We had a lot of fun with them on Sunday. They came to the dinner on Sunday night, and I stood up. I said a few words to everybody, and I said, I'm going to ask a few of you, how about telling a little story about your season? And I said, I'm going to start with you guys. They were probably the loosest out of everybody early on.
Yeah.
And I go, at what point in time, and I didn't use the word suck. I said, at what point in time throughout this season did you guys know that you were special? And he said, we knew we were special at week five. At week five. You know, they went all in at week five. So then my follow-up question was, did you then try to pick losers? And they said, no. We decided to follow our process. We followed the exact same process that we did for the first 5 weeks. We followed the exact same process, but then we put in the picks opposite. He goes, it was mental warfare to do that. He goes, we really thought every week we were picking winners, and we put him in opposite, and then we got this.
That's because think about this. Ryan, who joined us on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, he hit another best bet last night with Miami, 15-3 on best bets this year. I think he's third in the average Joe year-long contest.
Yeah. Right. So that's another amazing. Yeah.
So you're exactly right. Like just screwing with your head mentally the entire time of how you want to, you know, attack both of those.
Yeah. What was your answer to the bonus question? They brought up the bonus because they had a 27%. They were better than the winner.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea, King?
Well, yeah, they said, you know, now that we had a better record inversely. And I go, yeah, we were kind of ribbing him a little bit. I go, yeah, you know, if you would have been on a good side, you won $1 million. You're on the other side. Because I know that's all we're talking about. They're all upset about it. They're all upset about it. I go, you may have to play an Apple strategy. It only cost you $1,000 next year. Play the Apple.
That's right.
You can win them both.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, very good. Did you fight on anything on Indiana?
Yeah. As of right now, House needs Indiana. Volume. This is like watching the stock market. It's going back and forth. The amount of five-figure and six-figure bets we're taking now is unbelievable.
Crazy. Have a great weekend.
Too.
We'll expand on that game coming up next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Just talking to Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas. He was telling us this is like the stock market with the Indiana-Oregon game. Several bets coming in, five figures, six figures. He told the story yesterday of how they got absolutely murdered on the Miami result. Huge bets coming in before the game started on the Hurricanes. Did you say 500,000, I believe, was one of them. And both, by the way, both bets. They saw Miami money line and Miami minus the points.
He made a good point. If they don't get that two-point try.
Miami kicks the field goal.
Probably,
for the field goal anyway, probably. Yeah, if you were on Ole Miss last night plus 3.5, you definitely wanted to miss the two-point conversion.
Were you thinking Miami just run the ball? You're pushing them around. Beck played well. They were having so much success with Fletcher. They got cute with the Wildcat, which didn't work with Baby Jesus. And guys slipped again.
Slipped field one more time.
But it's just, that's why the winner of this game against Miami is such an, because Miami, they're bullies. They're so good at the line of scrimmage. And how they were blowing Ole Miss off the ball and getting chunks with the rushing attack. I thought they got too pass happy there. But then the penalty, that's the other thing.
I know.
Miami would have been so good playing disciplined football, and then a lot of times they were in second and long. Silly stuff.
I got to find out my notes here. I got to get the exact time of this. It was at the 4:14 to go. Third and eight, Ole Miss trailing 24-19. There was a late flag that came in, PI in Miami. I thought it was very questionable.
Was it the slant? Yes.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I didn't like it. He wasn't going to catch the ball.
Yep.
I think I know what you're talking about.
So as for tonight then, again, this number was four and a half earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Now Oregon is catching three at most spots. FanDuel has 3.5 here at Circuits, 3 Indiana minus 15.
Indiana wins 20-17. What's the number Monday night? Would you still make it five and a half?
Why?
A Miami home game with every former Hurricane known to man going to be there?
Can you say that the Oregon power rating should be that much higher than Miami's at this point? I can't.
No. I think Miami matches up very well against Oregon. And it's not being factored in. Now, we got to see who's healthy. I mean, they had some injuries. They didn't get out of there.
You have a total in that game?
I didn't. Let me look.
The look ahead? Miami and Oregon. I guess you could make the case for Miami-Indiana to be low scoring as well. But boy, oh boy, Miami-Oregon could be a lot of nothing happening.
Yeah. 47.5.
Yeah,
that's high.
Man, oh man, that feels like a big number.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, and you have to respect the Oregon defense. I get it, the James Madison game.
I don't know about that.
But
think so?
Oh, the Texas Tech performance was...
Well,
now, you could blame Texas Tech, but I thought that was a lot of really good Oregon, and...
They moved the ball, though. They did stupid stuff. How about the... Okay, fine. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you halfway. How about the Oregon offense? They didn't do anything. I mean, what's going to change here with Moore? He's going to have a big game? They shut him down and dominated, at least with the six sacks and how they dominated up front in the first meeting. He did not play well against Texas Tech.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this game would set up as a beautiful underplay. Oregon and Miami.
But tonight, I don't think Moore's going to do much. I just don't think what's going to change here in this game, too. Well, number one, you can't go against Cignetti and how you got the Heisman Trophy winner, who maybe can pick them apart, but that's what Oregon defense do I get? The one that gave up 500 yards to JMU or took it away four times and had Texas Tech in a headlock?
This total, by the way, is now touching 50.5 at DraftKings. This was 47? And those are all key numbers, by the way, just blowing right through most of them.
Well, again, people bet what they want to see. And in a big event like this, it's over.
I'm glad you said that about Dante Moore. We're going to hear from him coming up in a second. I brought this up in the first segment of the show. Those plays that Trinidad Chambliss was making late when it mattered most last night, they were spectacular to me. I think that dude is phenomenal. And I have a slice of him at 80-1 to go number one overall in the draft. Like watching Mendoza, watching Moore, there's no way a team could freak out about what this guy is showing now. This year, I think absolutely he could. And Mendoza has never blown me away. Kudos to the kid winning the Heisman Trophy, putting this year together. And I know some people are out there saying, yeah, he's got all the makeup of the number one overall pick. Maybe he does. I just don't see it. And I think a guy like Chambliss could steal it from him. But is Dante Moore capable of making those plays against Indiana's defense like Chambliss did against Miami's unit last night? And the thought that this guy's the number two quarterback on the board, Dante Moore?
I'd trade down and take Chambliss. Other teams take these guys.
Yeah. So it did not go well for him or pretty much the entire team the first time that they played up in Autzen Stadium. They only scored 13 points in offense against the Hoosiers. Here is Moore talking about what they learned from that loss.
It was too fast on my progressions. There were some times where it was open guy, and I mean, you can say I was kind of seeing ghosts out there. It was more of just trying to get through my progressions too fast. And another thing, too, is when I climb to the pocket, I tend to, I was trying to rush and get out. And there were some times where I can climb into the pocket and there was no need for me to move. So those are probably the two biggest things. Just got to, learn from there. But, yeah, I'm feeling real confident and excited.
Do you agree that they've been hit by the deck by the schedule? Well, they have a good coach and a good team. It's just been incredible that the schedule they faced.
Do you mean it's been super tough or super easy?
Easy. Easy to navigate.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, who was Penn State? What does that win?
Well, it turned out to not be not that good. That was Penn State fully healthy, though.
Okay.
Keep that in mind.
But they blew a big lead in that game and almost lost.
I think Iowa's pretty good.
That's a good win.
Right.
But the offense didn't do anything in that game. Defense played well.
What do we think about Washington?
I don't know. Defense played well in that game, but I don't think much about Washington. It couldn't beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then James Madison, you got what you want offensively, but then again, they weren't going to slow you down, and they got all those yards. And then, I mean, Texas Tech just embarrassed themselves on offense. And they gave you, I think, what they handed you 21 points at least. The fumble that resulted in first and goal, the stop on fourth down that resulted in first and 10 in the red zone, and they went for the Wildcat on fourth and one, didn't get that, and they jumped off sides on a punt fourth and one. That led to points.
Would you agree or disagree that the biggest X factor or wild card in this entire game tonight is Dan Lanning?
Yes.
And this is, I mean, he's been the same coach pretty much the entire time with the Ducks.
You can't do that. You cannot coach every game the same way. You can't say, like it's if it's compared, if it's playing Indiana or if you're playing Washington State, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. And it, like it was different with Texas Tech. They are having a ton of issues moving the ball against you. This is a 6-0 game, but and he's fourth. I'm going. You know, he goes for it 8 times
all the time.
Are
going
you going to punt? Or are you going to kick a field goal?
No, doesn't want to pin him. Why would you want to pin a team that can't move? Why?
Well, that's where it's. That's why he's going to. That's why he's going to get beat tonight.
Right. Why would you want to take 3 points? Let me correct myself. There's no such thing as taking the points. Nothing's automatic. But why would you want to attempt a field goal, a chip shot, in fact, when the team has not scored and there's a good chance they're not going to do a lot of scoring throughout the entire game? I'm being sarcastic now, obviously. But he did that. He's done that a lot in his career. And it came back to bite him in the ass the year that they could have made the playoff when it was only a 4-teamer 2 years ago against Michael Penix in Washington. I think they did it in both games. When they were awesome in the first half against Washington, he got too cute, wouldn't do the field goals. And I mean, tonight, like, for example, this might be a really good live betting thing tonight if he stays that way. Now, if it's a high scoring game and then he's going to go for it on fourth and two at the Indiana 38 yard line, that's fine. That's the correct play. But if it's like scoreless middle second quarter, he doesn't want to punt, goes for it on fourth and five, whatever. It's like, this guy's not going to change. If your defense is controlling Mendoza in the Indiana offense and nothing's happening throughout, you don't have to play like that. Because maybe there's an angle where you play out of your minds for the entire game and Indiana doesn't put a lot of points on the board and points could be at a premium.
How about they were getting 7 and now they're laying 3.5?
I could see that.
That's one angle,
although
it's not on the road. But the other, I like what Wes Reynolds said yesterday. Can't go against Cignetti. I'm with him. Too good. Teams off the bye are 1-7 in the playoff. Well, and they win 38-3.
Right.
They're undefeated. They shut down Ohio State. They embarrassed Alabama. They look great on offense. They don't beat themselves and they don't make mistakes. What's going to change? I can't see it.
I don't blame you. This is from on X at Ed the Stats Man. When betting on Oregon versus an opponent off of a straight up an ATS win, you are 19-6 ATS. Pretty good.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/VSiN. If you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of wings, and you save 50% site-wide on steaks, omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Hit the website. You'll be blown away by the selection and all the different options and everything you can order and the packages you can put together, shipped right to your door, omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase may apply. See the site for details.
Up next, we will look at weekly leader props and tie it into which players the Opta AI projections are high on at vsin.com. We'll tell you which players priced higher than 10-1 might be worth a shot based on their numbers. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time to look at weekly leaders, wildcard round, National Football League. Thanks for checking in today. We're live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. You can always get, we're going to tie in, by the way, Opta AI stats. You can always get vsin.com/NFL props. You can get it when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. They're all up there. Let's begin with passing yards. Matthew Stafford is the short shot on the board. He is 3-1.
Unbettable.
Totally agree.
Yep.
They could get out to a huge lead, and it could be the running game.
Great story. Again, everyone was freaked out about his condition and the injuries in August. Would he play week one? And he put up sick numbers. 40-plus touchdowns and all those yards. But they ran the ball all over him in the first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your angle where, number one, they blow him out. Number two, a lot of damage is done on the ground. So you can't go 3-1 there.
Here's what I don't want to hear this weekend. Either way, if Stafford is awesome and maybe struggles a little bit, I don't want to see he's the MVP. Or if Stafford struggles, May is great. He's got to be the MVP. Don't want to hear it. It's over. Regular season's done. May is 6-1. Stroud 6-1. I think there's an angle there. Teams torched the Steelers secondary this season. Lawrence is 8. Bills,
mm-hmm.
Good luck with that. That's not the way you beat Buffalo. They allowed 156.9 passing yards on the year, fewest in the entire league. Allen's plus 850. Brock Purdy is plus 850. The Opta AI projections at the website project him for 284 yards. Philly allowed 190 on the year.
Mm.
Is Purdy going to... What?
Yeah.
But they like Brock Purdy every week. Opta AI does.
I'd like Jordan Love if the weather was better and the wind. Not going to cooperate. How about the blowout angle again? Bryce Young, if they're playing catch-up the whole second half.
Yeah, I had that in my notes.
You think that?
Yeah. And he's 20-1. He is projected for 243 yards, roughly. The Rams allowed 217 per game. I would actually take a peek at Bryce Young, where that could happen. I think the Hurts thing, I don't want to bet that, although the Niners' defense is so bad, I think that could be more running the football with those teams. And Stroud would be the other guy, but 6-1 I think is an unbettable number as well. Steelers allowed the fourth most passing yards per game in the entire league. Receiving yards.
Bryce is 23-1 at Caesars.
You know, shop around for sure. Yep. Okay, so receiving yards. Puka Nacua is plus 425. He is easily the shortest shot on the board.
Yes.
Nico Collins is 11. A.J. Brown is 13. George Kittle 16. Christian Watson 17. And on and on and on.
I bet Parker Washington. I think you can have a nice bomb cash here. You just got to fade Puka. And again, it goes back to the blowout angle. Or they're doing damage on the ground and he only has like 80 yards. Right. What do you think wins this? It's only six games. 120 yards could win it.
I was going to say 108 yards.
That's possible too. Yeah.
115, 120.
It goes back to Christmas night. Christmas with the three games. Turpin won. He had one catch.
One catch, that's right.
The most yards out of the three games. You never know.
Opta AI stats are not high in Puka this week. They project him for 79. Panthers allowed the eighth fewest yards to wide receivers. This is the guy I did bet on. I took Nico Collins. I got him at 10-1. You can find better than that. But I don't have, I can't get down at DraftKings. So, unless I make a drive, which I'm not doing, Collins is...
Only A&W. Come on.
No, thanks. Collins is projected for 78 yards. Second most. No, I like A&W. I just don't want to, I don't feel like it right now.
For you. Yeah. Just don't feel like it.
Pittsburgh also allowed the fifth most yards to wide receivers. We saw the passing game, what the Texans have tried to do here lately with Stroud. They take shots early. Collins is his number one guy.
Mm.
I think 10-11-1 is worth a bet on Nico Collins for the week.
I don't want any Eagles. I don't mind Watson at 14. I don't want McMillan. I don't want Adams. I like Parker Washington. Problem is, how much does Myers get, though, too? But Parker Washington's been great for Jacksonville.
Yeah. You also don't want George Kittle, and he's the fourth shot on the board. The reason why, the Eagles allowed the second fewest yards to tight ends the entire year.
All right. Talk to me, Goose. What do you got rushing? What do you think here?
Well, okay.
The bomb could hit with this, too.
No doubt. So the Opta AI stats are super low on Barkley, Cook, and Jacobs. They have all three guys going below their rushing prop by 20 yards. There's an angle where it could be Kyren Williams or maybe Blake Corum for the Rams. Also, Etienne, the Bills allowed the sixth most yards to backs, most of any playoff team, and also like their advanced metrics are terrible against the run. Etienne, his number, though, was not high enough for me to look at 11-1. Henderson projects for 45 yards. Woody Marks for 55. Jaylen Warren for 57 coming up on Monday night. Do you like anybody there?
No.
Okay. Before I tell you who I like, let's hear from John Hansen, the fantasy guru. He thinks this could be a good game for Christian McCaffrey.
It's a little weird. This is the first Christian McCaffrey prop I've taken. I'm going to go over rushing because good schematics. 57.5 minus 114 on FanDuel. Philly gives up 4.74 yards per carry on zone runs the last 8 weeks. That's the seventh most in all of football. And they've given up 649 rushing yards on those runs. That's the third most. CMC has a 71% success rate on zone concept runs the last 8 weeks. That's eighth best. And 412 yards, that is the fifth most. Other than last week, I mean, you look at the numbers. He's hit this, I went back and I looked, I think it's like eight of the last 10 games, even though he hasn't had a good year running the rock.
Okay. There's also this. The Eagles ranked 26th in adjusted line yards on defense in the regular season, 14th in power success allowed. They had the 27th worst stuffed rate, 12th in the second level, 15th in EPA per rush. I know Jalen Carter is going to be back in the game. I took McCaffrey 13-1, though. Guru likes him.
All right.
The Opta AI projections are way down on the favorites or the short shots on the, in this market. And I don't think, I disagree, by the way. If I could bet on fewest passing yards, I'd bet Purdy fewest passing yards this weekend at a huge number. Because the Eagles
like that
passing defense, to me, is they're incredible.
I don't mind Dowdle at 22-1 because they ran all over the Rams in the first meeting. Etienne should have a field day against the Bills, and Swift should be there after you saw how bad Green Bay was against Henry and the issues they had down the stretch defensively. And I think Swift can have a big game, and Johnson will give him plenty of carries. The other thing, we have to do this to join the listeners. I don't know if this hit or all. I think it almost hit last year, but we are getting several tweets and emails on every team to score a rushing touchdown. It's 100-1. At DraftKings.
And it came in last year.
It came in or it almost did. But it's incredible how popular it is. Saying, you got to do this. Look at this. Why is this so high? Come on. This seems out of whack. Every team has a rushing touchdown. Wow. 100-1.
Okay. Well, did you notice other books posting it as well?
I didn't see it at Will Hill. I'll look at FanDuel. I'm sure FanDuel has it, too.
They probably have it. Have you noticed anything with the field goals like that?
They have every team to make one plus 550. That's nothing big.
Well, here's the thing. Are we going to get a shutout this weekend?
No.
That has happened in the past.
Uh-huh. I don't see that. Now, that's up.
What about the angle of betting? Because I did do that, and I'll expand on this a little bit later on as well. I said it earlier in the show. I have a round robin this weekend with alt totals, all to the under. What about scoreless quarters in all these games?
Those are big numbers in a lot of them. Those are big.
If you just blindly bet every game to have one scoreless quarter,
yeah,
I think you're going to hit.
It's 125-1 at FanDuel.
For rushing touchdowns.
Each team to have a rushing touchdown in all six wild card games. That's not crazy. These are high totals.
Yeah, but I'm the opposite. I'm hoping for like no points.
Well, it could still happen. You can have a 17-14 game and a guy has a rushing touchdown.
Give me every game is 10-7 and every touchdown's a rushing touchdown. That'd be good.
The hell are you?
Can we get that?
Wet blanket over here. Yeah, that's not bad. Each team to have two field goals is 300-1. Now that's aggressive. But this is good stuff here. And there's a plethora of stuff up there at these. And again, you know, but whether DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever, and then you got the game specials on every game at Will Hill Caesars. You get 200 different ways to bet the game with all the props.
Wow.
Like each quarter, each half, rushing, receiving, whatever.
So this is somebody, we just got a tweet from NJD107 with a screen grab. They did a bonus bet. They allowed him to do this. Each team to score one plus rushing touchdown in all six games. At 350-1.
They boosted it that much?
I would shop around for that. If a book, 350-1, how the hell do they allow a boost that big? I'm not very familiar with boost because it doesn't happen very often in Nevada. Ryan Kramer on the program coming up next. Anytime touchdown scores, two touchdown scores. And he is the savant of first TD scores of the game. We'll find out what he likes for this weekend coming up next.